Hello, returning happies and new listeners. This is Steve Bennett Martin.
And this is Stephen Martin Bennett. And welcome to A Lifetime of Happiness,
the podcast where we take you on our journey through some of the movies, television shows, and other bits of pop culture that are helping to keep us happy, while hopefully bringing a smile to your face along the way.
And today, we are road tripping it with the seminal gay classic, To Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar.
Yes, and thank you, my love, for introducing me to this movie, because it quickly became one of my favorite movies that you introduced me to that I consider a classic, because I am of the age where being a 1995 movie, it is a classic for me.
It just makes me so happy every time I watch it. I still laugh. I still smile. It's just a fun movie.
Yes. And so before we take that trip and take the show on the road, what's been making you happy, my love?
Well, because we have been fully vaccinated and my side of the family has been vaccinated. Your parents have as well. But my brother organized a family dinner my parents organized a family dinner with my brother and his family and my aunt and uncle. And it was the first time that we have all been under one roof in well over a year. And it was really nice to get to sit down with everybody and be normal.
Yeah, I was going to say, I miss most of them, and it was really great catching up.
Yeah, it was fantastic. But what is making you happy, darling?
Well, our vacation recently to New Orleans, as our listeners have heard about, if they've been catching up on our more recent episodes, was great. But one of the things we did there was a tarot reading. And with that, we got a set of tarot cards. You already had one recently. And I also downloaded the Trusted Tarot app, which is a free app, where rather than using your daily horoscopes, because Spotify burned me on those, because Spotify's main horoscope app tells you that you're getting this unique horoscope just for your sign, and then it's the same one basically for every single person's sign. And when I realized it, my world was shook, because I had been listening to it for weeks, and I was just like so convinced that they knew me, and I was like, no, they're manipulating me. But this one is like, you pick your one card out of like the 52 or whatever,
yeah,
and you pick it, and it's scary how accurate it is, because I've been normally waiting until like 11 or 12 o'clock before drawing it, and I'm just always like, well, that's been my day so far and where it's headed, or I needed to read that to get me back on track.
Yep, absolutely. I downloaded it too, and I absolutely agree. I really enjoy tarot. My friend Aaron McCamley got me on to Oracle cards. They were angel cards. And so I'd been doing those for a while and then decided to switch over to tarot. And it's just a really interesting way to check in with yourself and with the universe. And it is happy making.
Yes. You know what also is happy making, my love?
What, darling?
Binging stuff on TV.
And yes,
we can take that knowledge to help purge it from people's watch lists.
Well, this time it is good stuff, like Bloodfest on Amazon Prime.
Yes. And as the name of the title might sound, it is a rom-com. No, just kidding. It is a horror movie about Bloodfest, the scariest horror-themed park adventure ever.
Yeah. So these people want to go to, you know how people go to the music festivals and things like that out in the desert? Well, this is a horror-themed festival, and
it turns out to be real.
Yeah, things go really wrong really fast, and it's super entertaining, and I really, really enjoyed it. So if you're looking for a fun horror romp, look up Bloodfest on Amazon Prime. It's included with your Prime subscription. Mm-hmm. It's a good time.
Yes, it certainly is. And if you're looking for a little bit longer of a journey for a good time, we actually have a Netflix TV show recommendation, and that is Ginny and Georgia.
Yes, that is the story of a family who moves into this upper class, mainly white town in Massachusetts. And they had moved from Texas, and it's Georgia is the matriarch of the family. Ginny is her daughter. And, you know, Ginny has never had a real
home
life before. And she's never stayed someplace long enough to have friends in school. And Georgia is pretty much a con artist. from the word go. And it's really interesting and it's funny. The family dynamics, the acting, the friends Jenny makes. It's a good show. I recommend watching it.
Yes, it certainly is. It drew us in from the preview with Jenny schooling her English teacher.
Yes.
And it drew us in from that, and it's just very well written. It makes me very nervous about what are the youth of our, you know, our youth are up to in their free time, because if it's anything like that,
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad that we just have a little cockapoo to care for instead. He's easy to take care of.
Yes. So the movie this week is To Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. And back when I was in high school, we used to do this thing with my group of friends. We would call them shindigs. Mm-hmm. And after we got out of high school on Friday evenings, we would pile into whoever had cars, and we would go to the park or McDonald's or someplace else, and we would wander around town, 16-year-olds playing on the playground, or we'd go shopping, and then it always culminated in going to see whatever movie was at the Roby Theater that night, and each person got a turn of picking the movie for the shindig, and I picked To Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, as my shindig pick, and I remember really loving it, but also growing up in a small town in West Virginia in the early 90s, this wasn't anything that anybody was, the drag queen aspect wasn't anything we were used to. The small town with like six people, I was used to that.
Yes. Well, I was like, your town needed the movie. The movie was made for towns like your town.
Yes. So the description of the movie is, it's a 1995 American comedy directed by B.B. Kidron and is written by Douglas Carter Bean. It stars Wesley Snipes as Ms. Noxzema Jackson, Patrick Swayze as Ms. Vita Boehm, and John Leguizamo as Chi-Chi Rodriguez. But we shouldn't also ignore that the important other character is Stockard Channing, one of the most wonderful actresses to grace the cinema screens over the last 50 years, but our three New York City drag queens embark on a cross-country road trip from New York City to LA for the Drag Queen of America finals. And along the way, the movie tackles topics from homophobia, racism, misogyny, and abuse, while showing what it's like that we all have in common and what matters most.
Yes, ultimately, it's what makes us the same. Well, what makes us different is what makes us the same.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes. And so with this, its title refers to an autograph photo of Julie Newmar that they carry with them on their journey. But I had this question for you of who is Julie Newmar when we were watching this. And what did you tell me?
She's Catwoman. And she was the only Catwoman for me. No offense to Eartha Kitt or Lee Merriweather, because some people really love them. But I always felt that Julie Newmar personified Catwoman in the old Batman TV show the best.
Yes, and see, for me, I did not watch Batman like growing up. Yep. It was a little past my time. And I know of Eartha Kitt as Catwoman because all the drag queens do her in Snatch Game.
Yes.
But I did not know Julie Newmar enough to have considered her a gay icon, so I did some extra digging. And she was born on August 16th, 1933. She's an American actress, dancer, and singer. She's a Leo, just like me. By age 15, she was the prima ballerina for the Los Angeles Opera.
Which makes sense because she is so statuesque.
Yes, that's what I hear in the movie. And she won a Tony Award for Best Featured Actress in a Play for her role as Katrin Zweig in the 1958 Broadway production of The Marriage Go-Round. And then, as you mentioned, she did two seasons of Catwoman in the TV series.
Yep, I grew up watching that on the Family Channel, which is now known as Freeform.
Yes, and did you know that she also ended up going back and redid the role of Catwoman with voice work in Batman Return of the Caped Crusaders in 2016?
Yes, because they got the living original cast members from the Batman TV show from the 60s and did an animated version of it. I have not seen it, but it does sound thoroughly enjoyable.
Yes. Now, in addition to that role just being a role, she performed very well. I found two other bits that would maybe consider her to become a gay icon. Not only was she an actress, but she also was a lingerie model and an inventor of lingerie. In the 70s, she received 2 U.S. patents for panties and 1 for brassieres. The pantyhose were described as having a cheeky derriere relief and promoted under the name Nude Mar. See what they did there?
Yeah.
While the bra was inspired by Marilyn Monroe and was promoted as nearly invisible. So, you know, as much as gay men don't necessarily love the lingerie, the whole fact that this woman was like a powerful inventor who was taking charge of her body and making money off of it in a like smart businessy type woman way was just something that, you know, I know that we always admire. But also she does have a gay brother, John Newmar, and in 2013, she won a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Gay and Lesbian Elder Housing Organization in LA for her work supporting them giving affordable housing to LGBT seniors.
She's pretty impressive, and I love learning more about her. Like, growing up, I only knew her as Catwoman, and it's great to see this whole fleshed out life that further emphasizes how wonderful she is.
Yes, and she doesn't take herself so seriously either, because she did co-write a comic book series in 2013 called The Secret Lives of Julie Newmar, where she travels across time and space fighting crime.
That sounds fantastic.
Yes, and so I don't know whether all of these mean that she's like a gay icon in terms of like a lifelong activist or huge, like, stout ally. I didn't see that she's been, like, you know, touting political organizations or movements, or, you know, been as vocal as some modern day, you know, activists or big allies like, you know, Lady Gaga, for instance. But I mean, for the time, she was strong, she was powerful, and I can see, especially for drag queens, she was someone to look up to in terms of like a female that you would want to embody and impersonate.
I think, honestly, the thing that stuck out for me from what you researched was all of her support for finding affordable housing for LGBT seniors.
Oh, well, because we care a little bit about seniors, don't we, my love?
We do, and that sounds more like a less glamorous but very important thing, and that just seems totally like, you know, I'm going to work behind the scenes and help people, and I think that not everybody has to be flashing in the front if you're still getting the work done.
Exactly. And so, everyone, that was your gay education from me. And thank you to the 20 minutes I found or so scouring Google for all of that information on her.
So the production of the movie, they cast Wesley Snipes and John Leguizamo immediately. But there was a kind of actor bidding war for the role of Vita, where exactly.
They had a lot of big names that were up for the role, didn't they?
Robert Downey Jr., Matt Dillon, Rob Lowe, James Spader, and it ended up going to Patrick Swayze. Now, how did he end up getting the role, darling?
Well, he did this, I learned in the making of featurette on the DVD, by having his own makeup people transform him into Vita, and had Beban take a walk around the city to prove that he passes as a woman, to which then she said, with his beauty and dancer's grace, he did just that. He had the job.
So, and some people forget that, you know, they've seen Patrick Swayze in Dirty Dancing, but he comes from a large dancing family. Mm-hmm. Like, his mother, and she may not now, but for the longest time, she taught ballroom dancing, and that's where he got a lot of his training. Was it came naturally with the family.
Yes, and something that I find funny in terms of the stories behind the scenes is that he was a little more like Miss Vita than he might have liked to believe, because John Leguizamo comes from a big comedy background and does a lot of stand-up, and so he would ad-lib a lot of his lines, and Patrick Swayze, especially at first, would get so frustrated, or when they were like having a really long day and, you know, these men were not used to wearing the amount of makeup and clothes, you know, and they're feeling cranky and just trying to wrap the day. And John is just ad-libbing and making cracks left and right. That one time they actually came to almost punches before, you know, the director had to step in. Their pregnant director had to step in to stop them from fighting each other over the ad-libbing.
And because, except for the very beginning of the movie, they're in drag for the entire movie. Yeah. So just imagine these big guys in full drag being like, I'm gonna punch you.
Yes. And while the movie you know, is considered successful today because it, got legs and became more popular as it went on. It was not considered a huge box office success. It has a box office of $47.8 million. It was number one at the box office in the U.S. for its first 2 weeks in theaters, but not hit what they were hoping.
No, they were hoping that it would be kind of like a Birdcage success of over $100 million, which is what they consider a blockbuster. And they put a lot of advertising into this, mm-hmm. really pushing it and touting it. So it definitely didn't hit what they were hoping to. And I think the movie was slightly ahead of its time.
Yes, I agree. And they also were really trying to go all out, because in those beginning and closing scenes, those were both shot in New York. And they got some really famous guests, I mean, that we still know today from our, you know, gay and drag culture, like RuPaul, who I didn't get back, like, even when you showed me. And you watched it when you were young, so I'm sure, did you get the Rachel tension?
So her drag name in the movie is Rachel Tension.
She's coming like down from the sky wearing a Confederate flag gown.
Yep. And I didn't get it at all. I didn't get that Rachel Tension was Racial Tension. Didn't get it. And it wasn't until I was in my 20s and I was like, oh, that's funny.
Yes. And you also see a lot of other drag queens you might know, like Lady Bunny, Miss Coco Peru.
And actress Candace Kane is in there. And It's really nice to be able to look back and be like, oh. And I love Coco Peru. I think she is hysterical. And at some point we'll do the movie Trick so that we can do some of her best lines from that bathroom scene.
Yes. Well, I know that I love my drag queens, but most of my experience with drag queens has actually been via TV and movies. And so do you have any experience going to shows like this, like in New York City or big city shows?
Well, so Cincinnati isn't that big of a city. We had several million people.
Well, that's still a big city. That's a big city show. Tell me about it.
So one of my closest friends, Penetration, mm-hmm. along with Nigel Cottrell and my friend JC, they opened up. So Nigel opened up Below Zero, the bar, mm-hmm. and then they took the upstairs space and turned it into the cabaret. And Penny was one of the original founders of the cabaret. And every weekend they had these amazing drag shows, and even another RuPaul's girl ended up moving to Mystique Summers. She ended up moving to Cincinnati, and she worked at the cabaret for several years before she ended up moving to Texas. So I would to see drag shows in college, but the moment I moved to Cincinnati, we were seeing at least one drag show a week, sometimes more. And so drag was just part of my gay education.
Yes. Lucky jelly. But you've helped catch me up. Now, in addition to drag being the major theme of the movie, the whole idea is that they're trying to get from one coast to the other for a drag competition. So it's also a road trip movie. And we now at this point know a couple things about road trips, don't we, dear?
Yes, we do. So we did a full day driving road trip out in the desert around Las Vegas, where we went to the Grand Canyon and both sides of the Grand Canyon at that.
Yes. And so with that, we got to drive with our little style and flair with the top down as well and got to live our best lives.
Because as the queens say, it does come down to the age-old question, style or substance?
Well, luckily, we picked the style with the car, and I was with you, so that was great substance.
Aw, thank you. Yeah, we did have a convertible as we were driving through the desert, so that was just amazing. And we recently did our road trip to New Orleans, and, road trips in and of themselves can be amazing as long as you're on them with the right people. Mm-hmm. So thankfully, you and I road trip together very well.
Yes. And want to know something very funny about the way that time travel and podcasting magic work?
What is that, darling?
It ends up, while Naxim is breaking down definitions for people about the difference between like gay, straight, what is drag and what is not, I wanted originally to point out during this episode that transsexual is not an okay term to use anymore for people that are transgender. Mm-hmm. It's transgender, and I wanted to get into why. We record next week's episode before this week's episode, and at the time, we don't know why, but because at the time, I didn't know why I actually Googled, and I do know why now.
Oh, well, do tell us, why did they change the terminology from transsexual to transgender?
Well, it's not so much as much that the term isn't, like, the term transsexual is not used anymore. It's more that that is a medical term that really is none of your business.
Okay.
Because that just determines on whether they've had the full gender reassignment surgery.
Okay.
And so a doctor would, like, consider, this was from my Googling. I haven't consulted with an expert.
Yeah.
But from my Googling and my understanding, which is more than I had beforehand, and I know more than some of our listeners might or might not have, that's the, you know, what happens after you have the surgery.
Okay.
But you don't go around calling people transsexual because you don't know whether or not they've had the surgery, because it's also none of their business. They shouldn't be asking questions like that.
Yes.
So transgender is when you're transgender, when you're not born in the body that you are, and it takes the whole gender reassignment surgery out of the definition.
Right. Oh, well, that is a very, very good description, and thank you for doing that research for us.
Yes. I mean, I love that you helped me, like, learn the right terms, but then when I ask why, it's nice knowing all the whys,
too. Yes, absolutely.
Now, I also, with Sheriff Dollard, he was the villain in the movie as well.
He was definitely one of the villains, and, you know, they're driving, it's late at night, they're lost, and they get pulled over, and, you know, Vita immediately is, oh, what in the gay hell?
Yes.
Which is a phrase that I have totally taken and I still use. I don't like use it in front of the residents at work, but at work, if something happens, I'm like, oh, what in the gay hell?
Yeah.
And so Sheriff Dollard pulls over our girls.
Yes. And they handle it with that little bit of humor more so than I think it might happen in real life. Because, I mean, that would be something that's terrifying for any, you know, even for us being a gay couple pulled over today, I'd be worried just in case we ended up with a homophobic cop. But to be a drag queen in drag where your license doesn't match your name.
And because Vita said that her name was Eugene on the license.
Yeah.
And, you know, then they're definitely in rural America. So you have people that are Black, Indigenous people of color in the car with Vita. Yeah. And the sheriff, you know, uses nasty words about the other two in the car. And Chi-Chi was like, Vita, handle this. You speak honky.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure Ronnie probably used that more than once.
And Vita gets out of the car and the sheriff tries to put the moves on Vita and ends up molesting Vita, and Vita pushes him down and he hits his head on the ground, knocks out. They think he's dead, and which starts the whole possibly dead Sheriff Dollard conversation.
And at that point, she's just ready to, like, she throws a big temper tantrum. She's just over it. She's over the whole trip. And she loses her princess points she got earlier.
Yes. And so we, you know, have had to remove Ronnie's princess points on several occasions whenever we were in college together. And I love how, they do it in here that Chi-Chi's like, did I ask to come on this trip? No. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know, as soon as I find the next man, I'm going to ride him on out of here and leave you all alone. And they're like, you would give up on us this easily? And then does the whole hand motion, which I'm doing right now, but you can't see through the magic of podcasting.
Oh no, I feel it though. Wow.
Oh, I didn't take away your princess points.
Okay,
darling,
thank you. I like my princess points right where they are.
But so they, like, and then the car is broken down in the middle of nowhere, and we're not actually sure what state this is in. Their original thought, of course, because it's the middle of nowhere, and, well, the last person we saw only had two teeth, so West Virginia? No, not West Virginia.
That's not how the road trip would work if they were going to California, would they?
They could have cut through there. Because they were in Pennsylvania to go to Vita's hometown.
Mm-hmm.
West Virginia is just south of Pennsylvania.
Okay, well, yes, well, wherever it is, it's a town called Snydersville. And that's where they really get the chance to not, like, only meet the three characters as drag queens and kind of their drag personas, mm-hmm. but actually them as human beings, and watch as their characters kind of grow and evolve.
Yes.
Now, I know better than to ask if this is what your town was like, so let me rephrase it. Have you ever been to towns like this where it really is just one block?
Yes. And so, honest to goodness, there's towns near Spencer that were just, you know, a part of the road, like, and that was the town. Like, there, you didn't extend off to the side. There may have been houses, but the only shops were just that one road, and it was one and done. So, absolutely. And there are absolute places where there are only, like, 25 people in the whole town. Mm-hmm. So, the places like this are definitely real, and having that mix of characters, I totally see that happening. And it, this is the really where the movie starts to get fun as our queens start interacting with certain groups in the town.
Yes, and one thing that I learned in the documentary, which I find interesting as we get into the characters of the town, is that while the director, Beben Kidron, did most of the directing, she did give a lot of credit and still does to this day for the work and influence that Steven Spielberg had with the movie. Like, at this time, he was kind of in between projects and he had time to kill, and he helped advise her. And he was even to the point where being that she was pregnant during the shooting, she went into like labor the night that the movie wrapped, that he was ready to even jump in and help her finish the project if he needed to. That in the original script, all of the townspeople had double names. Like, every single one was Bobby Jane, Billy Lou, you know, and
I understand that as well. I mean,
and he was like, that's not what it's like. You know, it happens. It happens a lot.
Yeah.
But not every single person in a small town has a double name. Like, right, Stephen J?
Exactly. But I mean, we do still have Carol Ann, Bobby Lee, Bobby Ray.
Yeah.
But
there's also Clara.
Clara, right. So, and I can say, you know, I came from a family and I used to tease my mom whenever we would go to family reunions that she'd be talking about family. And I was like, oh, you mean Nancy Sue Leigh Ray Joe Bob?
Yeah.
There were like two first names are a thing in rural America, especially back in the day. So this does fit, but Steven Spielberg is right. It's not everybody.
Yes, and in terms of all the townsfolk that we meet, there's one that I actually identified a lot or saw a lot of you in them.
Uh-huh.
And that is Clara, because of her lifelong love of movies.
And I have had a lifelong love of movies.
And also, if something were to happen to me, I can imagine you just sinking into a deep depression just like her until a drag queen lifts you up and makes you happily back to yourself again.
As long as the drag queen comes along, I can live with that. As long as I'm not,
yeah, just... it won't be that long. You won't have to wait until your Clara's age. It'll be like a year later, and then like Beniver, someone will swoop in and like, you know, make you all better.
Okay, but I've always loved movies, and it really, you know, I wanted to be an actor, but also it's coming from a small town in mm-hmm. the middle of nowhere, and watching movies with these fantastical places. And it's a form of escapism.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and I know that's why I loved reading so much. And I kind of, reading books, I traded for TV and movies now more so. But I mean, I still love books, but it was the same thing as, you know, as a way to transport you to a different place.
Absolutely. So, and, you know, Clara, with her, she and her husband had the movie theater in town that mm-hmm. went out of business. But they had this passionate love together. And so it was them running this movie theater, and I can see that totally lifting her up and like fulfilling her life. Noxzema wanted to get to Hollywood mm-hmm. to be a star. She wanted to be discovered and be the next Dorothy Dandridge.
Yes, and I love just their interactions with each other were just very sweet as it went through the movie.
Well, I mean, Clara is so calm and quiet and well-mannered, and Noxzema will grab people by the testicles and make them use their manners properly.
Exactly. As it's necessary sometimes.
I know. It's happened more than once. I know.
Well, it's also, I mean, just one, that's one of those things that the movie discusses. And for a comedy, and a pretty lighthearted comedy, they tackle a lot of issues To a light extent. And they do them all very well at the extent that they do. Not to say that this is a movie all about abuse or all about sexual violence or all about this, because it's not about any of those things. But it does acknowledge that all of these things happen. And it does it in a way where it is portraying them as not okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, that is something that happens. And it's just sad that, you know, whether it's that they're drag queens or whether it's, you know, a lot of them, you know, the whole town assumes that they're just women. And just the fact that this town assumes that these women are just by themselves and helpless means that all of these guys can just try and sexually assault them left and right throughout the movie. I can only imagine just how scary you must be traveling as a small group of women, or as a woman or two.
I mean, and we definitely see that, because you see the things posted on Facebook where if you're walking to your car, put your keys between your fingers, mm-hmm. or, you know, or don't walk alone at night by yourself.
Yeah. And so it's just, they acknowledge it in a nice way. But what's another townsfolk in a relationship that you really love, dear?
So my favorite is between Vita and Carol Ann. And Carol Ann is played by Stockard Channing. And Vita, as we said, is Patrick Swayze. And Carol Ann is a matriarch of a large family. Her husband, unfortunately, beats her. Mm-hmm. And he is violent emotionally, verbally, and physically. Mm-hmm. To Carol Ann. So it was interesting seeing Stockard Channing in a role where she doesn't portray Stockard's just natural strength that she exudes, mm-hmm. seeing her weaker.
Yes. And,
but I love her in this role for all the things and all the notes that she brings to it, from the kindness. The part with the abuse was definitely hard to watch. And, yeah. and it's not, again, something you weren't really expecting in this movie.
Yeah, or out of the blue all of a sudden, you know, with the seasonings and the you know, the
do you way want that, me to hit you?
Yeah, you don't expect to see that in the movie, and it's shocking, as it would be shocking in real life to have that happen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's something that throughout the relationship, and like Vita just giving Carol Ann the strength to say, like, this is not okay. Like, you deserve better. You are worth more. You know, because Vita had a similar upbringing where it sounds like, or at least the way that she discussed it, it was more of like a verbally abusive
and emotionally
abusive, mm-hmm. To the point where when she came out as Vita and said, like, this is who I am, cut off from the parents, even though the parents were like upper middle class, or they were like upper
class. They were upper class. Yeah.
Yes. And that, like, I mean, while I was not upper class, I was certainly upper middle class. And I understand when I came out as gay, it was not great for my parents. They ended up coming past it. But I also can't imagine what it would have been like if I was like, I'm a drag queen too. I know, I can only imagine where we'd be right now. And so, you know, with that, it's something that I saw a little bit of, and I'm glad that, you know, you can, by talking about it, that's how you make it better, mm-hmm. is, you know, not by ignoring it like everyone else in the town has been doing for years, to let it get to the point, because he also probably didn't get to the point where he could beat her over dinner overnight. It probably was a lot of smaller things that just kept on going and getting worse, and no one stopped them.
And you can see that, you know, she, you know, an abuser's another way is to make them have all these children, mm-hmm. and, you know, she didn't feel worthy. She didn't feel like she had any self-worth or knowledge. Her job was wife and mother, and that's mm-hmm. all she saw herself as. And Vita coming there, and all three women treating her like a real person, yeah. and she was more than what she had been living like. And you can see her begin to change over the course of the movie. But it's especially the relationship between Vita and Carol Ann, where Vita says, I trust her and she trusts me. Mm-hmm. And you can, but in their interactions, you can see that they really do.
And and they really see each other too, because at the end, you know, for such a small town and passing as women the entire time, mm-hmm. she said that she knew, and she still let them change her and let her grow. And she kept their secret that she knew because of the Adam's apple.
And excuse me. Women don't have an Adam's apple. Only men have Adam's apples. And, you know, I just think that I am very lucky to have a female friend who just happens to have an Adam's apple.
Yeah.
And
that audience and listeners is why we didn't need to worry about having the audiogram for that section.
Because I've seen this movie so many times. I love it. But, and that's, one of those things. And Vita even says, you know, Carolyn, just come with us and like leave this town of Carolyn's. You know, I got these girls to raise. And
none of them seem worth raising.
Bobby Lee was great. We don't, and the others were super nice. But, you know, we also see that Carol Ann is able to fix their car mm-hmm. that was broken down, that her husband was like, oh, I can't fix that. I need this part. And Carol Ann was able to fix it. So she has all these talents, and the women helped her see that she is more than. Mm-hmm. So I did love that part. And in my, you know, headcanon, mm-hmm. the girls, especially Vita, like, they go back and visit.
Yeah, and they keep in touch.
Yeah, I don't see, in my mind, that's not the last that they all saw of each other.
Yes. Now, while Carol Ann might have known all along about the women, one person in town who did not know that they were actually men was little Bobby Ray.
Poor Bobby Ray. Bobby Ray, Bobby Ray, Bobby Ray. And yes, who and immediately loves Chi-Chi.
And Chi-Chi, do you think that Chi-Chi loves him back? Or do you think that she likes getting the attention from someone who she thinks is just attractive and likes her as a woman?
But it's not just attractive. It's because Chi-Chi admitted that to make ends meet, Chi-Chi had been working as a sex worker.
Yeah.
And so, but you have Bobby Ray, who isn't trying to put the moves on her. And isn't being inappropriate and is just being kind and is treating her with the respect and courtship that Chi-Chi's always wanted. So Chi-Chi knows better than mm-hmm. what she's doing. But for the first time in her life, somebody is treating her how she has always felt she wanted to be treated. Mm-hmm. And so she's willing to lie to Bobby Ray and pursue this no matter what. Vita's like, you can't do that. You can't play with human emotions.
Yeah.
And you have a story along these lines?
Well, similar. It doesn't have the dishonesty and the creep factor of the whole not knowing that she was a drag queen. But in terms of like being on a little vacation, like watching it, I kind of remember that when I went on my cruise between 8th grade and 9th grade, I was also at that age where on the cruise ship, you were too old to be on like the kids' activities, but you were too young to be part of the adult activities. And so it was kind of this awkward place. And I was just coming to terms with my sexuality, and I met like two kids on the cruise ship were my age, a guy and a girl, and I even forget their names. But I know that the guy had a crush on the girl, and then I ended up developing a crush on the guy, and he was straight. But like I also think like part of the crush or like part of the like confusion of the feelings was because like he was attractive, but also like I knew because I only was going to be seeing them for a week. He was one of the first people that I told I was gay.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, all right, cool. Like, let's go do this other thing. And like, and it was a non-issue for him. And especially after like the first person I told was gay said like me too and stole my thunder. And I was super mad. It was super nice having this experience where I was able, you know, and I guess just that's kind of what caused that confusion for the week. But that was my little Chi-Chi moment.
But, and one of the things that, you know, this may have shown, straight people are always afraid that gay people are going to hit on them. And I can let you know, that's not going to be the case. If we know you're straight, we're not going to bother because it's not going to work out for us. I mean, that would be like, and just so that we're all clear in case there are any straight people.
Just in case any straight people exist. Yes, yeah, you heard.
Just because you have a penis does not mean we're attracted to you, just in the same way that Roseanne Barr has breasts, and we're pretty sure that most of you aren't going to be going after Roseanne Barr. You can use that same correlation.
Yes, and if she is your yum, good for you.
Good for you. We're not going to yuck anybody's yum.
Yes, but she is a good example to use because as a human being, she's a dumpster.
Well, she is, yes.
All now, right.
There are some other great townsfolk like Blythe Danner, who, a great actress, people know her also as Gwyneth Paltrow's mother, mm-hmm. and she is in love with Jimmy Joe, who owns the restaurant in town. So her name's Beatrice. She's in love with Jimmy Joe, but because of where they live and the time they grew up, they still, in the 90s, are feeling that it's not okay for me to be with a black man. And the black man's like, well, I can't go after the white woman. Mm-hmm. And like, but they both separately are admitting they have these feelings. And it's our queens coming into town that are bringing this life and this joy that they both decide that, yeah, I'm gonna go for it. And I love that story. You also have Melinda Dillon, who is Myrna, and she has the hair salon in town. Most people would know Melinda Dillon as the mom from A Christmas Story, you know, you'll shoot your eye out. So that was neat to see her in another movie, and Beth Grant, who's a great comedic actress, as Loretta. But they all get to take part in one of the most fun sections in town whenever they do the makeovers and the fashion montage scene where they all put on clothes from the 60s and 70s.
Yes, and that is a trope that happens in many different movies across genres, but it's something that's always fun to watch. I don't think that I've ever gotten a chance to really do it in real life. I mean, I've certainly had our little mini fashion shows where we go out to places, but it's to try on clothes that we're buying. But have you had any experiences like that where you'll just try anything ridiculous with a friend just to be ridiculous?
So my friend Samantha and I used to go thrift store shopping, mm-hmm. where I got my amazing black leather trench coat that I still have.
Gorge.
And like, it was $350. I got it for $30. So, and we would be like, you need to try this on. And make the other person try on some ridiculous things with glasses, and then they had to come out. And so it wasn't to this extent, but yeah, it's fun to just go in and try on some ridiculous things and come out and, like, you know, ooh, you are feeling yourself.
Well, we will have to do that sometime together and feel ourselves. Oh, I just saw what I did there. Yeah. Oops. Well, we'll have to do that too, but we don't have to wait long to do that.
Okay. So we also have some bad people in town. And it's kind of funny that the leader of the bad group is Michael Vartan, who plays the good guy lead in Jennifer Garner's Alias TV series.
Oh.
And so, you know, they come across and they first try to physically assault Chi-Chi, mm-hmm. and Bobby Ray saves her. And then they're rude. And as I mentioned, Noxzema gives them a it's four. And
I was like, in that moment, I also saw you in Noxzema as well, because you've been known to give your share of takedowns when people have it coming, don't they?
So one of my favorites is I was at Below Zero.
Yes.
And I was upstairs watching my friend Sherry's cabaret act, and the bathrooms upstairs weren't working, so you had to go downstairs to use the ones in the main bar. And my hair was a little more yellowish. My hair was a little bit longer. And as I was walking to the bathroom, this older gay gentleman said, "Hey there, Goldilocks." And I just smiled. I was like, "Hey." And I went back by and, "Hey there, Goldilocks." And it was for the rest of the night. And so I just kind of ignored it and tried to be kind. And by the end of the night, I was signing my check, paying my tab to leave. And he walks up and he says, "Hey there, Goldilocks. How about coming home with Papa Bear tonight?" And I looked at him and I pointed at his stomach and I said, "You know what? That's too big." Pointed his crotch. "That's too small." And gestured to all of him. "And all of that is not right." He goes, "You don't have to be a bitch about it." And I said, "You brought this on yourself."
Yes, well, you know, as much as consent matters physically, also verbally, he tried multiple times, and never did you say, "Yes, flirt, please,"
yes.
or show any responses that you were appreciating it. So he did bring it on himself.
Yes.
You know who also ultimately brings it on himself in the end?
Is it possibly dead Sheriff Dullard?
Yes, because he's not dead, but he does end up with one of Vita's heels, and he goes on this whole Cinderella story of internalized homophobia. Because it ends up that the more and more that he's talking about it and we see him obsessing over it, it's because he's...
men touching men.
Oh, no.
Being with other men.
Oh, wow.
Feeling men.
Oh, is it getting hot in here?
Their stubbly cheeks. And, like, he's at a bar just going on and on about this.
And you know, harder people, and harder.
And people were making, and the other police officers were making fun of him because they're like, let me get this right. You got beat up by a girl? Mm-hmm. And no, it was not a girl. It was a man dressed as a woman. And when I bring back these corpses, if you look up their dress and you see something that you shouldn't see, well, I don't know what.
Yeah. So luckily, though, when he does go and try and come after them, the entire town rushes to their defense, all saying that I am a drag queen.
Yep. And it starts where you honestly think it's Vita coming out, mm-hmm. but it's Carol Ann who had taken her wedding dress and dyed it scarlet red. Mm-hmm. And because she, at that point, with Vita's help, marriage. Had thrown Virgil out. And so Stalker Channing comes out there and she goes, I am a drag queen. That's my shoe. And then Clara's like, can I have my shoe, please? And he's like, you're a drag queen? Nothing this pretty could be real.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm a drag queen, big boy. And they all, and his internalized homophobia keeps getting worse. And he's like, you all are just taking in these deviants. And the three queens are like, these people are defending us. We didn't want to come here. Yeah. And these people are defending us more than our own blood family ever did.
Yeah.
And we've only known these people for a few days. And it's you know me, it's everybody comes together and they work together. And, you know, as much as the queens changed the lives of the people in the town changed them for the better too.
Yes, agreed. And I mean, thanks to the townsfolk and the journey and everything along the way, while the three of them were going across the place to compete and going into it, it looked like Vita or Noxzema were likely winners. Who ends up winning?
Shock of all shocks, it goes to Miss Chi-Chi Rodriguez. And she walks out, and she looks so elegant, and she's got the look, she's got the walk, and she bends down to be crowned by...
these wrinkly old hands.
No, Miss Julie Newmar.
Both can be true.
No, we don't talk bad about Julie Newmar. And again, even though she's in the movie for 35 seconds,
yeah,
it just, you know, as they were leaving town, Vita gave the picture that they had stolen from the Chinese restaurant to Carol Ann. She goes, you may not know who this is. And Carol Ann's like, oh, that's the Julie Newmar. You know, I always thought she was so statuesque.
Yes,
and
she is. And so with that, it just all comes full circle.
And so what are your final thoughts on the movie in general?
I think that it must have been amazing being able to watch this at a younger age when this came out, and to see drag queens in these roles, and especially being portrayed by these actors that were known to be masculine men. They weren't.
I mean, Wesley Snipes as action star, comedy star.
Blade.
And
Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze from Dirty Dancing and Roadhouse, you know. It's just not what you would expect. Yeah. And you have other well-respected big names in the movie, like Blythe Danner and Stalker Channing. So it gives the movie an earned respect from the names that are in it.
Yep. And then it tackles enough things where people, when you go through things, can see yourself in a little bit of each of these characters, but you get to see them overcoming it. So it helps make you feel good while watching it.
Yeah.
So I really love it.
I do too.
It makes me happy.
It does make me happy, which is so good that we decided to do it for our show. And it's one that I do think has still aged well. Mm-hmm. And because the topics that they discuss about, you know, racism, homophobia, spousal abuse, those are still happening. None of those went away.
They're timeless, unfortunately.
Maybe
happier news, though. You know what else makes me really happy?
Is it our fans?
It is our fans, our listeners, that I just love so much. And so if you are interested in giving us feedback on this show, or want to make your own suggestion of what gay or drag-related movie we might cover next, email us at happylifepod@gmail.com.
And that's HAPPYLIFEPOD. And you can also find us on all the socials, whether that's Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, at Happy Life Pod.
Excellent. And thank you everyone for listening, and stay happy. you're still here, which is great because there's something we probably forgot to mention this episode.
That is correct. Each episode, as we're discussing movies, music, and games, there's a good chance we've used a small clip or two from the original source material.
Yes, and those clips are not ours. We do not own the rights to any of the music or clips. They were used to help solicit a discussion to appreciate the original source material.
And with that, if you are still listening, you likely really appreciate our material as well.
I mean, how could you not? And if you've enjoyed this episode, then you should also ask yourself, when's the last time I told a friend to check out A Lifetime of Happiness?
If your answer was not today, well, it should be.
Yes, so go tell your best girlfriend about our podcast today, and don't forget to subscribe or follow us wherever you're listening to get new episodes each Wednesday.
Stay happy.